Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
This is Your Health Matter with Dr. Ram Nair. Dr. Ram digs deep into all things to keep you healthy. And now, the man who wears a caution sign on his back, which reads, High Energy Human Molecules Inside, Dr. Ram Nair and Your Health Matters.
Welcome to another edition of Your Health Matters. I am Dr. Ram Nair, your host. This program is sponsored by Dr. Ram LLC, a consulting company for assisting and providing guidance in submitting grant proposals for funding your favorite projects. Especially the company is specialized in the grants for the science, technology, engineering, and math areas, although we could help with any type of grants for nonprofits or community organizations and educational institutions. Please go to our website for more information, drnayar.com, that is drnayar.com, or email at info@drnayar.com. You can also call toll-free 1-844-GRANTS, or that number is 1-844-947-2687. For those of you who are tuning in on a regular basis, a big thank you. It is for listeners like you that this program is on the air. This program is educational, informational, and motivational in the sense that knowledge you gain from listening to this program will hopefully give you the knowledge base to lead a healthy and therefore a happy lifestyle. Today I was thinking of talking to you on a general topic that often people don't want to talk too much about, or in some quarters, of course, there is a lot of discussion on the internet or on the news media. That is about the medical ethics and physician-patient relationships. Yeah, because this is something that is sometimes as a given, but the reality is that there is a lot more involved on this patient-physician relationship. And also, from the doctor's point of view, the code of medical ethics. And there are certain things that I think the general public should learn and know about, because that helps them in dealing with the situations where you have to go to a physician's office, or whether it is a hospital or a clinic, and talk about it. So it goes both ways. And so I thought I should give you this topic because of the general interest that it should have in order to understand, and there shall be no misunderstanding between the physician and the patient or the patient's family. I was reading an article. I remember that I read an article which is in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is supposed to be one of the primary, most premier journal in the medical field. And the New England Journal of Medicine 200th anniversary, that was in 2012. But it still reminds in my mind about that article that I read, written by Dr. Robert Truong, professor of medical ethics, anesthesiology and pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, and a senior associate in critical care medicine at Children's Hospital in Boston. And this article kept in my mind, and I thought it was a very interesting article and very informative article that I could share the gist of what I read and understood, so that the listeners can also have an educated opinion. Now, I want you to understand that I am not doing an analysis or critique of the contents of this article, but sharing what is in the article, since many in the general public usually do not read scientific journal articles. I thought this one article was interesting both from its content and its purpose to educate and inform the general public about the medical ethics and the patient-physician relationship. What I understand is not until 1960, the emphasis was on the obligations of physicians solely in terms of promoting the welfare of the patient, while not mentioning about the patient's rights. That has changed drastically since 1964. First of all, let me start with the Hippocratic Oath that the physicians take. This oath, in essence, defines the conduct of a physician to a patient and the ethical and moral attributes in treating a patient. In 1964, that oath was modified by one Dr. Louis Lassana of Tufts University. Now, with the empowerment of individuals in our modern society, these days the patients have a right to ask their physicians about their prescribed treatment, other options of treatment, and even the right to refuse a treatment. This is where the danger comes, in some cases at least. What I see, and what majority of the physicians or almost all of them would say, is that there are times when the patients rely too much on what they learn from the internet or other avenues of public dissemination of information, such as commercials, advertisements, flyers and brochures that provide health-related information and medications to alleviate certain diseases. The consumer takes this at face value, but that is not always the thing that one should do, because not that the commercials or the brochures or the announcements are wrong, but one of the things that everyone should understand is that a single medicine, just one single medicine that is meant for a certain type of disease, does not have to be the most useful or the appropriate medication for every patient having that disease. Because in other words, there are other complications or other side effects or other attributes that physically and physiologically, both ways, you know, the body functions as well as, you know, many other aspects can be a part of the medical regimen. So just don't, just because you saw an advertisement does not mean that, you know, that applies to every person having that particular syndrome or disease or condition. That is one of the reasons why, of course, we go to the physicians or the clinic or the hospital, because otherwise we could just listen to these advertisements and brochures and go buy our medicines and try to get cure. But that is not the way it works. So this is a very important thing. And, you know, because I have seen people talking about certain medications after listening to these commercials that are bombarded on the television, and they try to think about it and talk about it and say, oh, that may be the one that I need to alleviate my pain and suffering, which is not really true. You really always have to go to a physician or a medical professional of your choice and the right person and talk about your conditions, because for a same disease, there are many different medications now available, and which one to choose is the privilege or the educational background of the physician that you are visiting. Because otherwise, you know, we all could cure ourselves by just going to the pharmacy and buying the things, either over the counter or through the machine. That is not the way it works. So that is one of the reasons why this topic has become so important in discussing on the air, so that those of you who are listening will have an understanding about how serious this is in having the correct knowledge base on that. There is an old saying that a little knowledge is more dangerous than complete ignorance. I think it is very true. There are people who think that they can manage their health condition by themselves, relying on the advertisements, brochures, internet alone. This approach can be very dangerous, more dangerous than the intent with which these advertisements were out there. because they are only to inform you about what is available and not necessarily to tell you that that is what you should take. So now the medical treatment modality has taken giant steps in terms of dealing with a patient. Scientific knowledge gained over the last two decades have given insight to physicians and pharmaceutical scientists with the knowledge that they never had before. For example, there is a difference in the way in which diseases manifest depending on age, gender, and even race or ethnic origin. These are evolutionary, genetic, and natural adaptive mechanistic manifestations in the living beings. And that is a very important aspect dealing with these type of issues. One of the greatest challenge to the medical profession today is the rights of patients to demand or refuse care depending on different value systems they hold or on their personal preferences. That is a given. The challenge for the physicians is that when they know rightfully that a particular treatment will be needed and the patient refuses it. This is the dilemma in the practice of medicine these days that the physicians face. And for various reasons, you know, there are families that can refuse a certain type of treatment when the physician feels that that is the right type of treatment. And these are the conditions that we always face on our everyday life when we are dealing with a physician-patient relationship. You are listening to Your Health Matters.
Keeping you healthy is his job. Dr. Ram Nair, Your Health Matters. Looking for a grant and don't know how to get one? Call 844-9-GRANTS. Dr. Ram LLC, the proud sponsor of this program. Two-year colleges, four-year colleges and universities. If you're looking for a consultant to help you in submitting a grant for science, technology, engineering, mathematics, STEM, Dr. Ram LLC can help you from the beginning to the submission. If you're a nonprofit or for-profit organization, contact Dr. Ram LLC for your needs to raise funds through grants. If you need a program evaluator, Dr. Ram Nair is available. Dr. Ram Nair has over 36 years of experience in grants. Just go to our website and contact us now at www.drnair.com. That's www.drnair.com. Or email us at info@drnair.com. Call us toll free at 1-844-9-GRANTS. 1-844-947-2687.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
Now, back to Dr. Ram Nair and Your Health Matters.
You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is Dr. Ram Nair, your host. I was talking about the medical ethics, the patient-physician relationship, which is often not really thought about, but it happens on every visit of yours with your physician. There is something called a confidentiality that is always maintained by the physician and their office about you and your health. That is the law. And on other aspect, from the patient side, the patient has to be quite frank and open in the conversations with the physician so that they can do the right type of treatment, right type of diagnosis, etc. Now, but the question of medical ethics comes when questions of whether a certain type of treatment has to be administered and whether there is consent by the patient and the family. Now, there are a lot of questions in that, and there was the whole thing of consent is so important that it happened after the Nuremberg trials in 1946 during the World War II. After that, because otherwise, you know, there are cases where we all know unethical way of treatment has happened, and the history has recorded that, and then we don't want to ever repeat those atrocities anymore. And so the Belmont report is a follow-up which outlined the proper conduct of clinical research and the creation of something that the educational and medical institutions and the professionals in the health field know as the Institutional Review Board, or in short, they call it IRB. So the beginning of the IRB actually is the cornerstone of the relationship between the ethical treatment of patients or humans. Now, the question that I was posing and discussing was actually about a slightly different aspect of it, meaning the ability of the physician to treat a patient when the physician feels that that is the right type of treatment, and also on the other side of the coin, when and where the borderline comes, because without the consent of the patient or their family members, you cannot make a treatment. At the same time, if the physician feels that a particular treatment has to be done and the patient refuses, then there is a dilemma. And what do you do in such a situation? And that's the whole point. And the same way, suppose on the opposite side of it, if the physician feels that no treatment is going to help the patient because of the end stage condition of the disease, or there is a situation where the treatment is not going to be effective, the best of the best treatment would not be effective, then do the physician has a right to advise the patient and his family whether the treatment should stop. I mean, this is an extremely moral issue. And interestingly, there is a in 1999, the Texas Advance Directives Act. This is a law that has been formed, when George W. Bush was the governor of Texas, that the Chapter 166 of the Texas Health and Safety Code, which was enacted in 1999, has done something towards this question of whether a physician can advise the patient and his family whether they should stop treatment, because even with the best of the best treatment, the patient may not be able to survive because of the health reasons and no other reason. And so the law has done this. This is what the law says. It has defined one very concrete approach to addressing these type of dilemmas. And the dilemma of treatment or no treatment under special circumstances. When families demand treatments that have an exceedingly low likelihood of success, or that sustain life of such low quality that one might reasonably say it is of no benefit to the patient, Texas law allows physicians to refuse to provide such treatments 10 days after giving a written notice to the family. That is the law. And the current law provides the family to find another facility to accept the patient or obtain a court injunction to extend the time period. If this does not happen, then the hospital can proceed. Now, the critics are saying that 10 days are not enough for the families to make a stay order. But that is, the legal aspect of it. And but the thing is that this legislation gives the physicians some ability to carry out what they think is the right thing. But of course, they cannot unilaterally, under no circumstances, do it. That is something that I wanted to make very clear. Physicians don't take upon themselves these decisions without certainly the consent of the family. But the rule is kept there for extreme cases where it does not make any sense that, any of the best treatments can bring back life. Now, the ethical question, the ethics of the clinical research, as I said, started in way back, and the physicians follow that very, very, very carefully, and they are very aware of the importance of life and how to maintain life and improve the life. But then sometimes things happen where, one has to take into consideration the ramifications and not only the sufferings and the pain and sufferings that the family goes through because of the medical issues of the dear ones and the near ones, but also remember the fiscal abilities of a family to support such things. And it's both financial and the psychological and emotional trauma during that type of periods. And so one has to take into consideration all that. There is this inherent human psychological tendency to minimize the risks to human subjects in the name of benefits to society at large in some of the experimental protocols. That's why the Institutional Review Board was established to stop that kind of protocols and treatments. One of the revered principles in medical ethics has been that physicians are required to do everything that they believe may benefit each patient without regard to cost or other social considerations. This is a lofty ideal, but in reality, the physicians face competing pressures from the society as a whole that prevent them from providing everything that might be of medical benefit to a patient. Now, examples of this are dialysis when it started first in 1962 and mammography. And there are many other instances and cases where I can go in there. You are listening to Your Health Matters.
Keeping you healthy is his job. Dr. Ram Nair, Your Health Matters.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com. This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp.
InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
Now, back to Dr. Ram Nair and Your Health Matters.
You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is Dr. Ram Nair. This program is sponsored by Dr. Ram LLC, a consulting company for assisting and providing guidance in submitting grant proposals for funding your favorite project. Especially the company is specialized in the grants for the STEM areas, that is science, technology, engineering, and math. Although we could help with any type of grants for nonprofits or community organizations and educational institutions. Please go to our website, drnayar.com, that is drnayar.com, or email at info@drnayar.com. You can also call toll-free 1-844-GRANTS, that is 1-844-947-2687. I was talking to all of you about something that we all take for granted sometimes and don't understand exactly, you know, the situation behind when something does not come to our liking. This I'm talking about the relationship between a patient and a physician and the rules governing that, and some other things that we should understand from both sides of the equation, the patient side as well as the physician side. And as you know, that often what happens is that in some cases at least, the patients have some partial knowledge about the disease or the type of medicines that are being advertised and given through various media outlets, and then they ask the physician to prescribe them that particular medicine, but then the physician may have a different opinion, and sometimes it can be a conflict of sorts. But the fact of the matter is that the physician not only looks at the disease, but also the overall health of the patient, various aspects of the health, and he knows or she knows best that the particular medicine may not be the right one that the patient thinks that should be prescribed. But I have really heard, I have overheard patients asking about by name a particular medicine. But all these things happen because of partial knowledge or not having enough knowledge about it, because these medicines, when they are prescribed, they are intended for certainly a definite purpose of the action of the medicine inside the body. But often that medicine, there may be more than one medicine for a particular disease, but all of them, of course, do the intended purpose, except that some may cause some kind of side effects or undesirable effects in a particular person. That is because of the family history or the genetic factors or the immunological reasons or some other aspects of the person's health, because no two persons are alike. And so these are the conversations that the patient should have very candidly with the physician, and the physician also will be very candid in explaining to the patient what is best for the patient. So the communication channel is something that is of utmost importance, and sometimes I used to say that you know, the doctors are not magicians, you know. They just can't figure things out, you know, without you being candid about what is affecting you, because you had to tell the whole story and not part of the story, because by hearing the whole story, the physician will have a better grasp of, you know, identifying the cause of your disease or the best treatment that he or she can give it to you. So, but then the question of whether a patient can refuse treatment, of course a patient can refuse treatment. No physician is going to force any particular medication on any patient. That is not the intent. But the patients, when they refuse, they have to understand that, you know, what reason are they refusing the medication that is prescribed? You know, is it social or religious reason, or is it some other reasons? But, you know, you have to back up your reasons why, you know, you probably wouldn't like to have that medication. And by rule and by ethical rules, you know, no physician is going to prescribe you something that you really don't want to use it. You know, the classic example, you know, in other words, in the preventive medicine, like a vaccination, you know, there are some myths going around stating that, you know, vaccination has so many bad effects and that one shouldn't take vaccinations. But the reality is vaccination does have side effects in some. But that is understandable, and they are not life-threatening side effects in any case. So vaccination does have the best of the best intentions and of preventing a disease in any person that uses or you know, vaccination as a way of preventing diseases, and that is a very important thing. So sometimes, you know, it comes to the borderline of you know, reality versus some of the myths and wrong information that is going around, and that can actually be pretty bad in the overall equation. Now, the patient relationship, when we talk about it, there are many other reasons also. That is, there is another article that I read, you know, the doctor-patient relationship, and this was written by one Dr. Susan Dorgold and Dr. Mac Lipkin, you know, way back, you know, in the Journal of Internal Medicine a few years back. And I still remember some of the things that that article had stated, and it says that the medical interview is the most important way to establish relationship, and it has got three functions and several structural elements to that particular doctor-patient relationship interview. Now, the three functions that these two authors have mentioned are gathering information. That is one. And the second one is developing and maintaining a therapeutic relationship. That is once the regimen, medical regimen, is provided to the patient. You know, you just don't prescribe and then the patient disappears. That's not the way it works. The patient, of course, has to keep in touch with the doctor, and the doctor keeps in touch with the patient. That is the therapeutic relationship, meaning that, you know, how does the medical prescription worked, whether there are any side effects or any inconveniences using that medications, you know, things of that nature. In other words, it's a continuum. You know, you continue to keep the relationship with the physician that is helping you. And then the last one is communicating the information in the right way, because you see, all these three factors, very, very important: information sharing and maintaining a therapeutic relationship and communicating information, are very primary to a good physician-patient relationship. And if that is continued, then there are less problems. Sometimes, you know, I have heard patients talking about saying that I don't like the doctor, or I don't like to go there, you know, I want to change the doctor. But sometimes, you know, maybe, of course, the patient has the freedom to choose what they want to. But sometimes it is not actually the physician's fault at all. It is just the fact that the patient does not have a good, you know, relationship of a professional nature between the physician and the patient. or the patient's family. So these are very important things. For, you know, if the patient does not trust or like the practitioner, the patient may not disclose complete information, and that may lead to a wrong diagnosis or wrong prescription. And the doctor can do nothing about, except the doctor can only listen to what the patient says and try to figure that out. A patient who is anxious will not comprehend information clearly sometimes. In other words, many of the patients, they have the apprehension that, they are not feeling well, and some of them have some psychological issues, or some of them have a simple, anxiety, which is not, uncommon. Because when you are sick, you are very anxious and probably nervous and fearful. So what will happen is that the communication that the physician is trying to convey to you either wouldn't be completely understood, or the patient may not comprehend the right way. That can be pretty bad too, because there can be misinterpretations and misunderstandings that comes as a result of that. So these are the little things that affect the relationship and, as a consequence, the outcomes. Unlike many of the people think these are not simple things. These are very important things that one should take into consideration when you are dealing with the health issues. Now, the reason I am saying this is because the only reason that if you have this kind of background information, in future you would, when you approach to a physician, you will be always in the right way, in the right manner. You are listening to Your Health Matters.
Keeping you healthy is his job. Dr. Ram Nair, Your Health Matters. Looking for a grant and don't know how to get one? Call 844-9-GRANTS. Dr. Ram, LLC, the proud sponsor of this program. 2-year colleges, 4-year colleges and universities. If you're looking for a consultant to help you in submitting a grant for science, technology, engineering, mathematics, STEM, Dr. Ram, LLC, can help you from the beginning to the submission. If you're a nonprofit or for-profit organization, contact Dr. Ram, LLC, for your needs to raise funds through grants. If you need a program evaluator, Dr. Ram Nair is available. Dr. Ram Nair has over 36 years of experience in grants. Just go to our website and contact us now at www.drnair.com. That's www.drnair.com. Or email us at info@drnair.com. Call us toll free at 1-844-9-GRANTS. 1-844-947-2687.
You became a nurse for a lot of reasons. You care about people and you love taking care of them. Being a nurse is who you are. But today, many medical facilities require nursing candidates to have bachelor's degrees. So you're probably going to want to have that degree. But you work. You may have a family. How can you possibly fit getting your bachelor's degree in your already tight schedule? With the online RN to BSN Bridge Program at Independence University, our online learning model helps you balance your work, your family, and your desire to move up in your nursing career. Class sizes are small and personal, and we're 100% focused on helping you through the program so you can earn your degree. An IU's online RN to BSN program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. Our goal is to help you achieve your goals. Independence University's online RN to BSN program. Call now.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and 3-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the 5 little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity.
Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Biz Talk Radio.
Now, back to Dr. Ram Nair and Your Health Matters.
You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is Dr. Ram Nair. I was speaking about the patient-physician relationships, which often is not considered as a routine thought in our minds when we go to a physician with some kind of illness. But the reality is that I was sharing with you some of the things that are involved in the physician-patient communication, because the physicians are expected to and required to act in the patient's interest, and even if those interests may conflict with their own, but for them to act in the right way, they have to be well informed by the patient as to what exactly is the problems that the patient is having. Now, it has to be full, candid information, because these informations are kept confidential, and there's nothing to fear. It's a trust between the patient and the physician. And so when we consider all these things, we always have to, this is why we choose a physician of our choice, because we feel that the physician is qualified as well as, can be trusted and has the best experience to treat us. And so with that in mind, the main thing I wanted to mention is that everything that the physician says is in the interest of the patients, and never in a selfish reason. But there may be conflicting and overlapping interest that may present itself sometimes, but then there are rules and regulations that are in place so that everyone would act appropriately. Now, there are certain things that one has to understand. from the physician's point of view, their interest is to protect the patient and their interest as well as their preference. That is their job. And the medical plans that is out there, their idea is to promote a patient-centered culture so that, the patients have the right to ask the questions and to get the best treatments that they deserve. Now, from the physician's point of view, again, prudence in medical spending decisions, they practice prudence in medical spending decisions. The health plans, they protect the patient's confidentiality. So they all go hand in hand in what the final outcome should be. Now, there should be no conflict of interest at all on the physician's side, and they had to keep out of it. And the plan should be to eliminate intrusive incentives to physician contacts, meaning the pharmaceutical companies or other research institutions which involve in research of various diseases using humans. That is a very highly controversial things unless every step of the way the steps are taken in the right direction. Like I said earlier, the Institutional Review Board, or the IRB, is an organization that oversee the human aspects or using the human subjects for any kind of experimentation, which came after the Nuremberg trial, as I was mentioning earlier in the conversation. So, there are many, many few more things that, but there are many steps that has been kept in place by law that protects the patient's rights as well as the physician's abilities to follow the right procedures. But, it takes two hands to shake hands, and just like that, just like a two cents to a coin, the communication channel has to be completely open so that the physician can make the right decisions as well as the patient will have the full satisfaction of having that particular physician. Now, another aspect of the physician relationship, patient relationship to consider is the physician's gender and the patient's gender. One of the article I read mentions it as follows. The physician gender might impact on the relationship through three mechanisms: gender differences among physicians, particularly with sex role attitudes, patients' different expectations of male and female physicians, or increased status congruence between physician and patient in same sex as compared to opposite sex. Physician-patient dyads, they call it. And this is very important because there are patients who feel more comfortable. Remember, I mentioned earlier that one of the things that a patient should do is to choose a physician of their liking, both by gender or ethnic or racial basis. That is perfectly okay. Or also based on the qualifications and the type of training and the experience that the physician has. You see, there's a lot of freedom of choice here, and it is the patient's responsibility actually to choose the right one that they would like to have, because otherwise it can lead to not so good relationship, which can lead to not good recovery also, because part of this whole business is not only social but psychological as well. Now, no need to repeat the effective communication between the doctor and patients that I have mentioned to you. That is one of the most important, the important thing. And studies have found that shared control between the patient and the doctor better than the control of any one other party over the other, because that is the main thing. A cooperative doctor-patient relationship has the inherent therapeutic value. Very important. If you trust your doctor and the medications, then you have a better chance of survival too. The physician's major role is to educate and encourage the patient to take responsibility for his health. It's the patient, not the doctor, who ultimately creates or accomplishes healing. Let us face it, the physician must strive to inspire hope as well as understanding, and that is the most important thing. In this day and age, another dimension has come up in the discussion of doctor-patient relationship. That is the spread of internet source of medical information. Consumers use it. One study says 70 million Americans use internet for medically related information. But I have mentioned to you about the good and the bad about that. You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is Dr. Ram Nair, and this is time for us to wrap up. Stay healthy, stay happy. So long.
BizTalk Radio.